antenna.
We don't have enough.
We don't have a quorum.
I've got two. Which one? Oh. Mine was the one that my records were on. Brown.
I know.
She saw me first.
Who are you recusal?
Brown and Vizcarra.
But if even if there's just one recusal, we're not going to have a quorum at that point.
What was that?
So if one person's recused, we lose our quorum.
Yeah, it's Christensen.
Oh, perfect. Good, now we just need...
At least we can start.
Yeah.
How are you doing? Good morning.
Glad to have you here.
Pina is going to remove it.
I give us a little more hope.
Yeah.
At least we can have the recusal.
Yeah.
Okay. And Vicky's on now.
Good.
So you got to do the...
I know, I couldn't get on either.
Dr. Hero, you have to do the call to order.
Yeah. Okay, it is 8:03. We're going to once again call the meeting to order. Sherry, can you give us a roll call, please?
Hero?
Here.
Beanstalk?
Here.
Berg? Christensen?
Yes.
Dinar?
Present.
Goodman?
Here.
McLean? Morrow?
Here.
Penna?
Here.
There you go. All right, we have our quorum. So we'll move on to agenda item number 2, introductions of new board staff, and a welcome to and from Dr. Regina Cobb, Executive Director of the Arizona Dental Association. Ryan, I'll turn it over to you.
Good morning. Most of you may know me as State Representative Regina Cobb. I am still that. I will be the Executive Director starting about 2 weeks ago and for the Dental Association. I wanted to come in and introduce myself. This is the first time I've actually been in this room and this building. Yeah, so this is great. I got to see, you know, a little bit about how the boards are connected in here, which I haven't been able to see as a state representative. So it is really great to be here this morning. I will be taking a leave of absence between January and the session to be the state representative, and then I will come back to work as your executive director for the Dental Association. And I hope Ryan and I have had a great relationship up to this point. Hopefully we can continue that and communications between the association and the board. We look forward to a long, hopefully 8 years like I have been with the state, and 8 more years with a relationship with you guys. So thank you this morning for having me. And I'll be open for any questions. I don't know if you can in your call to public.
Questions in the floor?
Well, we can thank her, can't we?
Yeah, we wanted to thank you.
Thank you so much. We're looking forward to it.
You would. Thank you so much. And I'm going to sit in for a little bit, then I'll be taking off because I've got my other job. Thanks.
Thank you for being here, Dr. Cobb.
Thank you, Dr. Cobb. Thank you.
Okay.
So, yeah. Seth, sorry. I thought we were going to move into the investigative room.
So,
So we, as you know, that we've been super understaffed, and Dr. Cobb helped us immensely in the appropriation. She's the chair of the appropriation committee. I'm not sure if she will stay in that position going forward.
Yeah.
Awesome. So she's been a huge asset, not just with our relationship, but for this board and several others, because that's her primary. One of her primary jobs on the appropriation committee is to make certain that people or boards and commissions and other agencies have the proper appropriations to operate. We have been underfunded for several years, and Dr. Cobb was instrumental in making certain that we will actually have the appropriate funds to continue, and that allowed us to hire three additional staff. You guys met Yasmin Bustamante, I think, in August. So she recently joined us in August. And both of these young ladies here, Veronica Diaz, she came from the nursing board, and she joined us at the same date. Mary Ford joined us, and she is from, yeah. So both started in September. Both have been super, they've only been on, I think, 2 or 3 weeks, and they're both in compliance, which we're heavily behind in compliance, and the next agenda item that we cover, they'll be helpful in the investigative committee as well. They've already done several compliance folders and passed on the information to get investigations. So you're going to get flooded more than today's agenda with several more compliance matters to be handled. So we appreciate them and we welcome them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, Christine is passing that information out to the board. I'm going to jump over the investigative committee agenda item to declaration of conflicts of interest. So if any board members have any conflicts of interest they'd like to declare, now would be the time.
Go ahead.
Agenda item 6A4.
I'm sorry, Dr. Beanstalk, which one was that?
6A4.
And we got, and I have two. One is case 20200057, Dr. Brown. And the other one is case 20200120, Dr. Vizcarra.
And this is Dinah. I do not have a case conflict, but I need to step out for a few minutes at 10, so maybe we can take a break at 10.
Okay. Sounds good, Mr. Diner. Well, let's go to the call to the public. Agenda item number 3 or 4, I'm sorry. Pursuant to ARS Statute 38-431.01H, the board may make an open call to the public during a public meeting, subject to reasonable time, place, and manner restrictions to allow individuals to address the public body on any issue within the jurisdiction of the public body. However, members of the board are not allowed to discuss or take legal action on matters raised during an open call to the public unless the matters are properly noticed for discussion and legal action. The board, however, may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that a matter be put on a future agenda. All of you who are addressing the board in public comment on cases have received information about the process, but as a reminder, this is for comments only. Board members may not discuss the case with you, ask questions, or answer questions. Please be clear and concise with your comments, which must be no longer than 3 minutes. You may be interrupted by the executive director to ask that you summarize and conclude your points. This is not a legal hearing. The board reserves the right not to take action on any issues or cases presented during the public comment on cases. You may stay and observe, but again, the board may elect not to further discuss your case. You will be notified by mail of the board's decision. Please identify yourself for the minutes. However, if you are a patient on one of the agendized cases, then please refer to yourself by your initials. If you are a complainant on one of the agendized cases, please, we ask that you wait to speak until the case has been called. Ryan, do we have anybody signed in to speak during the call to the public?
Just looking at that now, I don't believe so. But they don't have to be if they want to come forward at the call to the public.
Okay. I'm bypassing the investigative committee item until Christina can give me the list of names that.
So there's one. It's a little harder to see. She missed
the That's fine. Okay. Okay, then I'll call agenda item number 3, the investigative committee. So, as directed by the board at the last meeting, a subcommittee was formed of myself and Dr. Beanstock, Ryan, and board staff to go through the 70-ish applicants that we've had. We took a multifarious approach looking at location, gender, diversity, experience, specialty, come up with the 11 names. It's a little duplicative with some of the specialties, particularly those that handle adverse occurrences or some of the bigger cases that come our way. So I'm going to just read the list of 11 names and then the alternates that we came up with. We can pass that around as well. So we have two oral surgeons, Dr. Skip Harris and Dr. Saba Kalamshi. Two dental anesthesiologists, Dr. Anthony Caputo and Dr. Cynthia Fukami. And one endodontist, Dr. Timothy Cross. One prosthodontist, Dr. Fritsch. Two periodontists, Dr. Levine, Dr. Mondlik, two general dentists, Dr. Sommerhalter, Dr. Domingo, and we have, Deb Kappas as a hygienist. Point of note, because one portion of the conversation existed on how many general dentists we should have since most licensees are made up of general dentists. Dr. Duggan and Dr. Cutler and potentially the two new staff general dentist investigators that we've hired will be attending these meetings as well. So we thought having two committee members plus the staff investigators would be a broad representation of the general dentist in the community. Our alternates were Dr. Dove in pediatric dentistry, Dr. Goldstein in orthodontics, Dr. David Dodell, general dentist, Dr. Sina Patel, oral facial pain and oral medicine. And Dr. Gregory Kammeyer, who's also a general dentist. As we deliberated about pedo and ortho, the consensus was there's just not a lot of complaints that come our way, and we're still going to be utilizing our consultants in the community. So as these complaints come in, if there is one that a pediatric dentist or an orthodontist would be needed, then we would reach out to one of our consultants. So I'll open it up to board questions or discussion.
If I may, Dr. Christine's going to pass out the list.
Great.
The yellow is the name that the subcommittee selected. Not yet. I mean, this has to come before the board. And the blue are the alternates. To recall the names.
Are we looking for a motion at this point to support you in this decision? Or
that, or if there's any discussion of board members. And then once we decide on the list, we talk about potentially a chair.
What is the alternate's role?
The alternate was just meant more for board discussion right now.
That, hey, if we don't like Timmy, we could choose Jennifer.
Yeah,
exactly. Or Dr. Jennifer.
This is Dinar. Is the whole committee responsible for investigations, or is it just the specialists for a particular case?
Ryan, do you want to give a brief summary of how the committee is going to work?
Yeah, so this is an operation that I've worked in for probably a good majority of my career. It will actually help in the investigative process as well, hopefully, to make a more peer-related decision or recommendation to the board, and then the board, as the final adjudicator, will make decisions based on the investigative committee's review of every single case. Right now, as you know, and Dr. Cobb, you may not know, that we have this internal investigative review committee, and most of us on that committee are sitting in here today, and none of us have DDS or DMD behind our name. There's a couple that do, but only one present virtually is Dr. Dovkin. And prior to that, it was just Dr. Palmer. It's not, in my opinion, and we can disagree, but in my opinion, as great of a job, I think, as the investigators on these committees do to help staff understand what the issue is, we're lay people. We're not doctors or hygienists. And so it's almost a unilateral decision that's a recommendation to the board. Ultimately, you guys have the final decision and you look at the entire case file as well. And I think that that's sometimes where we get into the issues where the recommendations come on the committee or from the internal investigative review committee, which we call IRC. And then the recommendations are changed, and rightfully so, on many occasions. This doesn't mean that if you get a recommendation from the investigative committee that you can't change the ultimate decision, but you can see that it would be a more valued process in the fact that 11 peers have looked at this case, and at least, and oftentimes unanimously, but at least majority, with a majority decision to recommend something, will come before this board. There's a whole lot, there's many more details. I believe Mark has worked, or not worked, but offered legal advice in these types of situations with boards. Several have these, the vet board, the county board for sure, they have six. So there's a huge benefit to this, and I just think it allows them to do an investigative interview, perhaps, where you guys don't have that luxury. You have to do a formal interview or a formal hearing. And sometimes there's things that get lost and never reviewed because they weren't properly noticed, unless you now properly notice and bring them back. So there's a huge benefit to this process, and I think that it's a long time coming.
I think also there's a benefit to the licensees in that the investigative process is going to be a lot more transparent, where these meetings are open. You know, they'll hear what's getting discussed. They'll have an opportunity to listen in on those. So I think, you know, all the way around, it's going to be good for them.
Yeah, I'm excited about that additional protection for the public and the additional protection for the licensees, because both parties need to be well and properly represented. And then it's exciting to see how many experienced clinicians want to help. I think that's great for the dental community for sure.
Yeah, I think we had about 75 applicants. And I missed one as I was reading the name off for alternates, Dr. Mindy Motihari, a general dentist who's on the alternate list as well.
If I can add to the alternate explanation earlier. So the alternates were you guys that, as a board, instructed the subcommittee to come up with alternates just in case the ones in the yellow, the 11 that there was some issue or consternation, and you said, okay, well, let's not have an issue with this. We can just pick somebody else from the blue. But in addition to that, if we, as a board, offer to one of the 11 and they now decline, then we can go to one of the other professions.
So in a...
applicants, part of our criteria was they had to have a minimum of 5 years.
We also really looked at location. You know, we didn't want all of the representation coming out of Phoenix.
And, you know, I think we got a pretty good cross-section there as well.
So this is Dinard. The IRC committee had board members serving on the committee, right?
No. The IRC committee was the chief investigator and board staff. And Dr. Cutler also was the deputy investigator.
Because I think, I mean, this is great, but I think there might be some value to putting at least one board member on the committee. It could be on rotation. So, you know, one person doesn't have to be stuck with it. Because then that board member would be able to take care of running the meeting.
I think that would be great. The instruction we got was that that board member would then have to recuse himself from those cases discussed during the board meeting based on the conflict. So I would ask for Mr. Harris's input on that.
Dr. Hirno, members of the board, that's exactly right. You wouldn't want to necessarily have a board member on the committee because this would eventually come back to the board. The board members from participating because it may be that during the investigative process, that board member would receive information that might not make its way into the investigative materials that ultimately come before the board. So they would have been privy to information that the rest of the board members might not have seen or reviewed or be able to consider when reviewing the committee's investigation. So it's best not to have a board member on the committee.
Well, then, wouldn't the solution be in the interest of transparency? All of the materials that the committee sees are forwarded to the board so that the board can make an informed decision.
In almost every case, that is the situation. I probably shouldn't have said or put as much emphasis on the fact that there may be materials and information that the committee may review that might not make its way to the board, because generally speaking, you will receive everything that goes before the committee, including any interviews that are conducted by the complainants or the licensees. And during the process, there may be times where things will happen where a information, whatever the case may be, that there'll be and in receipt of something that would require them to recuse themselves from the board. If you have any questions and oversight with respect to how the committee is operating, you can certainly have a representative of the committee appear at every board meeting to answer any questions that you may have with respect to the committee's operations or a particular case. But for purposes of the constitution of the investigative committees, I'm not aware of any state agency that has investigative committees that have board members participate at that level.
So my concern with a committee that does not have at least one board member on it is that statutorily the legislature has given the board the authority to investigate. And it seems to me that we are sort of outsourcing that investigatory authority to a group of private individuals that aren't appointed by the governor. So in my mind, one solution is to at least have one board member on the committee so that we can, you know, on paper, it's the board member who's running the committee. And of course, they're going to be experts who are going to look at the investigations and give recommendations to the board. But I would feel much more comfortable from a constitutional and separation of powers perspective if there was at least one board member. It could be on rotation. And the point of, you know, the recusal argument, I mean, as board members, we sit as a full board and we look at all of the materials that come to us and we form an opinion and decide cases based on the stuff that is in front of us. So I don't see how being on the committee would lead to automatic or a presumption of recusal when that matter comes to the board.
Yeah, and this is Goodman. I, as best as a non-attorney can, I think I understand the legal arguments you're sharing on the separation of power and our responsibility. What my concern would be is if a board member's on that committee, might they just create some bias for the decision made by the committee that influences improperly a decision here? And that's where I'm worried, is if I'm part of a group who decides this is what we should do and recommend, I then hold to that opinion maybe more firmly than I would if it were presented to me as part of one and multiple board members. So I'm worried about bias for the licensee and against the licensee, really.
We do that. We serve on many committees and we bring our biases, but again, we have one vote among 11. So I don't see that as an issue.
Well, then I'm with you, and that's where my bias for the statement comes in, is having served on committees coming forward with policy ideas, I know I end up finding myself and others really attaching to those opinions. But that doesn't have to do with an individual's license to practice. Whereas here, we're talking about a bias against an individual. So bias to ideals and individuals, I think, need to be treated differently by this board and by society.
Well, I think, I mean, if someone has a preformed conclusion as to a specific case, they're free to persuade everyone else who is on the board. And if that persuasion works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I mean, that's how, you know, a committee works. That's how a multi-member body works. So I don't see that as an issue at all. The issue that I see is not having a person was appointed by the governor on that committee.
And Dr. Hero, members of the board, and I very much appreciate that position. But again, keep in mind, the role of the committee isn't to make final decisions, it's to make recommendations that will be reviewed by the full board. And the board will always have the discretion to accept, modify, or reject any recommendation that the committee makes in a manner.
And this tomorrow, and to my understanding, I could be wrong, but this committee doesn't all gather together every month to go over every case. They may be specialized in certain cases that need extra opinion on it.
They would meet monthly, and they would have access to all the information on all the cases. I imagine how it'll end up functioning, though, is depending upon the nature of the case, there's going to be certain members on the committee that are going to kind of end up leading it and making recommendation, which the rest of the committee would probably follow to an extent.
And have we given Dr. Dubkin or some other board staff the lead on this, saying, all right, this is the committee chair?
No, we're going to talk about that today.
Okay.
So the per conversation at the last meeting, we decided on 11 members, you know, to get a good cross-section. Today was going to be confirming those 11 members and hopefully deciding upon a chair.
My only comment, not even concern, but we left it up to you to determine the 11 members, and you guys put a ton of effort and energy into it. It would just be modifying position a little bit, but even at that point, it's not a ton that I would say about it. My comment to Dr. Christensen is, do we need two dental anesthesiologists? But then you have one in Phoenix and one in Tucson, and it seems I'm sure you guys have been through the massive debate on this. I don't want to mess up the puzzle piecing together. So,
and honestly, the reason we landed on that is, how much input do we really need about an open crown?
Right.
You know, but how much do we need on an adverse occurrence related to an anesthesia case? That I think that's what we need a little bit more. And I personally lobby for two oral surgeons and two dental anesthesiologists.
And like I said, I have no real concern about any of it. It was just interesting to see your brain and how you process this. So,
me and Doc just wanted all pediatric dentists.
This is Goodman again. I see this as a progression. Maybe it's not a progression to perfection, but moving from what we have been doing historically to moving to this would be a great direction for the state and for what we're doing and for the burden the staff is carrying.
Kind of an expansion for how I'm looking at it. We have a place, we're expanding upon that. We're making the process more transparent, which should benefit both the public and the licensees.
Now, do we have to have a quorum for them to meet every month?
I believe so.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, having a quorum of six is a lot more difficult than having a quorum of five if you do nine. That was the only comment. Yes. We got professionals that are busy.
And So what would be the process if, say, we move forward with this as written today and we decided, you know, they start meeting in January and after the 2022 year, we want to make some adjustments because maybe quorums are difficult or maybe we want to make a change with a committee member. Can we build that into the language of the creation of this committee that we can do that?
Yeah, I don't view today's decisions at all as being, you know, the end of the discussion. The committee's an evergreen process, as everybody, I think, has mentioned. It'll be a work in progress. You'll always have the opportunity to tweak it in the future. With respect to, you know, Dr. Morrow's comment regarding quorum, you know, that's something that I think, you know, Ryan and staff is always sensitive to, and I think the committee members were as well. And I can't speak to it, but I think one of the reasons why they settled on 11 members versus 10 is that the quorum is still 10 six with 10 members as it is with 11. So they added that extra body in hopes of getting that sixth member for each meeting. But again, I can't speak for the.
That would be my, and we probably leave it up to staff to say, hey, we're having a really hard time getting a quorum, or hey, we need someone who has a little more commitment, or whatever it may be.
Exactly. So with that said, does anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. I make a motion that we adopt the recommendations for the 11 that have been proposed before us, so that we can start the IRC committee. Is that what it is?
Investigative committee
with the 11 that are proposed.
Goodman seconds with the potential suggestion of giving the group that decided the ability to sub out alternates if needed because of acceptance.
Let me rephrase mine. I propose that we accept the 11, offer the assignment, and if they choose to decline, that we use the proposed list of alternates for the investigative committee.
Goodman second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
This is Dinar. I mean, I agree that this is a step in the right direction, but I just don't feel comfortable not having a board member on the committee. My hesitation. I mean, I want to commend you for putting these names together, but I can't vote yes on this because of that problem.
Why don't we do a roll call, Sherry?
Hero?
Yes.
Beanstalk? Yes. Christensen?
Yes.
Denar?
No.
Goodman?
Yes.
Morrow?
Yes.
Senna?
Yes.
Motion passes, one opposed. So before we move on from this agenda item, I think we should talk about a chair. I think, you know, at some point, we could have a conversation of the committee themselves being their own chair. I think right off the bat, so I spoke with three different individuals on the 11 recommended to gauge interest on chairing it. We're not going to make a mistake with any of them, but I think we should talk about it and make a vote. Dr. Harris, oral maxillofacial surgery, he's of everybody probably been the most engaged with the board for some time. I think he would be great. Dr. Fukami, I spoke with at length. And she, again, great choice. She's interested. Lastly, Dr. Sommerhalter. Again, an excellent choice. Dr. Sommerhalter was a previous board member. Also, prior to that, I don't know if it was prior or after his tenureship as a board member, but he was an investigator for the board for 5 years. He's retired, so his availability is wide open. That was, I guess, the only concern I would have with a full-time practicing dentist trying to chair her availability would be. But you know, it would be great. So,
and this is Morrow. I would love to have a general dentist have a little, not necessarily more power, but have a voice. And so I think the Dr. Sommerhalter seems like a great option.
Great.
I motion that we invite Dr. Sommerhalter to be the chair for the investigative committee.
Very good. We have a second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. None opposed. Okay. Moving on to agenda item number 6, items for board review, discussion, and possible action. Letter A1, under applications for licensing of dentists or hygienists. Ms. Kudahar. Christina, do we have anybody here who would like to speak?
Oh,
forget. You want to make comments or just answer questions? Okay, very good.
Okay, thank you.
Do you want?
Yeah, please.
Can you raise your right hand? Thank you. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, the whole truth?
Thank you for being here.
Of course, thank you for having me.
So we'll open up the board for any questions or comments or motions.
This is Penna. I have a question.
Yes.
So I just want to make sure I read this correctly. The problems you had legally were in 2011 and 2012, and you just recently graduated from hygiene school and passed all your board exams. Is that true?
Correct.
So we're looking at things that happened 9 and 10 years ago.
Correct. It was in 2011. I wasn't sure of the date, so that's why I put 2011, 2012.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Goodman. I motion that we approve the application for license.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed. Any opposed? Motion passes. None opposed.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Moving on to agenda item A2, Dr. Ryan Gibson. Christina, do we have anybody signed in? Virtually or here in person? Dr. Gibson, would you like to come forward? And Ryan, you want to swear Dr. Gibson in?
Yes. Thank you. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so I'll help you out.
Yes.
Thank you for being here, Dr. Gibson.
Thank you.
Any comments or you want to answer questions?
I'm good at answering questions you might have.
Great. So I'll open it up to.
Go ahead, Penna. Sorry.
Oh, thanks. My one question is, if I read this all correctly, the mistake was made based on extractions on a referral. So Dr. Gibson was following the referral. Is that correct?
Go ahead and answer.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, this is Morrow. I think the reason why there was the adverse occurrence decision made is because there should have been knowledge of occlusion and all the other stuff that was going on, if that's correct. Meaning they assume that you should have realized that because they're missing the laterals, we don't take the upper premolars or something to that effect, right?
No, it's just that he marked the orthodontist marked the wrong.
No, I mean, when they came to the judgment they did,
okay,
that was the assumption that you had that responsibility, right?
Right.
Okay. This is Morrow. I recommend that we grant Dr. Gibson licensure.
Christensen second.
Well, so motion in a second. We'll open it up to discussion.
Yeah, I still had a question or two, but probably ask the board members here. Isn't it the burden of the licensee to determine that the tooth that's being pulled out is the right one? I mean, independent of the referral. And in this case, there was no, we can't get a pano or like, I think we need to know a little more, but if you guys are good with forward, I mean.
Practice settlement is what it was.
Kind of, and now let's move on in life.
Well, this is Morrow. If it was repeatable, if there was multiple offenses, we've all made mistakes that have, but I don't think it's going to endanger the body of the public for, you know, going forward. I'm sure he's rectified situations. And certain times we're given referral that to do certain things. So back in Washington, D.C., I received referrals from the military saying, do a crown on that tooth. Because I was contracted with the military, I did a crown on that tooth. And so as long as there was no harm done or no intentional, like, angst, that's why it was a mistake. And I think that it was a unique situation.
Yeah, but we have someone here who got a license in 18 in Michigan, 19 in Texas, 20 in Oklahoma, and now we're in 21 for Arizona. So if there's a pattern, I don't know what state he's going to next year, but I mean, that's the pattern I see. So I don't know that we would know a pattern of good or bad dentistry based on somebody bouncing. And that's where kind of more questions I would have. But I mean, clearly I'm not going to stand in the way of the license happening today, but I do have some concern.
Sure. This is we call that geographic success.
Okay, yeah, no, that's awesome. I want him to be successful.
I've been a victim of geographic success.
Yeah, I want him to be all over. Successful.
This is Penna.
Okay, Sherry, why don't we go ahead
have a
roll call?
Penna had a question.
Yeah,
go ahead.
This is Penna. I was just going to say that sometimes with ortho, teeth that are perfectly healthy do get extracted based on what the wisdom teeth are doing, based on their orientation. So I'm not sure it's a general dentist's job to second guess and reevaluate all the x-rays when they get a referral to pull two premolar teeth. That's not unusual for ortho.
That's a good point, Ms. Penna. You know, sometimes we don't know what their exact plan is, and the coming from a specialty. No, I agree. The nice thing is this case has already been adjudicated, and we just have to make sure it doesn't happen in the future.
I think we're going to hold up license.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, why don't we do a roll call?
Hero?
Yes.
Beanstalk?
Yes.
Christensen?
Yes.
Nard?
Yes.
Goodman?
Yes.
Morrow?
Yes.
Penna?
Yes.
Motion passes, none opposed.
Thank you, Dr. Gibson.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to agenda item number 6A3. Dr. Roy Theria?
Yes,
Theria. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here, Doctor.
Thank you.
Brian, did you swear? Dr. Theriot in.
Raise your hand in. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I hope you got it.
Yes.
Dr. Theriot, any comments you want to make, or are you here more for questions?
More for questions.
Okay. And we'll open it up to the board.
What page are we on?
We're on the supplemental packet.
Board packet.
Next tab.
Got it.
This is Penna. I move to to grant him a license.
Hero will second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes, none opposed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you
for Thanks for on. Coming in. We appreciate it.
Agenda item number 684, Dr. Weiser. Beanstalks refused. Dr. Weiser, you want to come forward?
We still have a quorum then because we brought two more in. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Doctor. Ryan, you want to swear him in?
Thank you. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
Doctor, any comments or questions?
If time permits, I would like to say something.
Please, yeah.
I didn't prepare anything. I just wanted to say thank you to the behind-the-scenes Nancy Elia. If I pronounce that incorrectly, I apologize, but her professionalism and attitude has been great through this whole thing, and I just wanted to acknowledge that. So pass that along. I also just wanted to say I'm humbled and I guess a little nervous. Humbled and grateful to have this opportunity. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Doctor. I'll open it up to board for questions or comments.
I have no questions. This incident happened 20 years ago. If I had everything written down that I did 20 years ago, that would suck. I recommend that we grant licensure to Dr. Weiser.
Thank you.
First and second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes, none opposed. Yeah. Congratulations, Doctor.
Berger.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, agenda item number 6B1, case number 202-000142, Dr. Day. Did anybody sign in? Dr. Day, thank you for coming today. Or do you want to swear, Dr. Day?
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so I'll be good.
Doctor, any comments or questions?
No, I'll take questions, please.
Open up to the board. So staff comment was a letter of recommendation for lack of documentation for dosage and duration of nitrous administration. I'm more prone to just dismiss this case.
Tomorrow seconds that.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Can I make a comment now?
No need.
No need. You can't.
Well, it's dismissed.
I would like to say one thing. It's a bit uncomfortable being here with my colleagues that I know. I've been here for 32 years, and I might make a suggestion to the board, as I'm currently an examiner for the Arizona State in anesthesia. As you may know, I would prefer in the future, just as a method of acknowledgement, that the people under investigation be left out of this room and brought in individually, so that we don't hear collectively what's going on with problems with these other people.
The problem we have an open forum, and we have to be open to the public. That's why we have broadcasts. It has to. There's a sign-in sheet. I mean, we have by law, we have to be open to the
public. Because it's not a legal proceeding. It's
not a legal proceeding.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr.
Moving on to agenda item 6B2, case number 202-000157, Dr. Stephen Brown. Dr. Morrow's recused from this case, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Brown, thank you for coming down today. Brian, would you swear Dr. Brown in?
I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Great. Doctor, would you or your representation like to make any comments?
Yeah, I'd like to make a brief presentation. I'm Fred Cummings. I'm with the law firm of Gus Rosenfeld. And basically, I'm going to just tell you why I'm here. Dr. Brown had a complaint. I'm not going to spend a lot of time going into the facts for reasons that will become apparent. Had a complaint lodged against him. He filed his narrative report like he was supposed to. The patient had filed her complaint after being brought to collections. This went to the IRC committee and also Dr. Cutler, who reviewed it and found no basis for any violation. Dr. Brown, being a dutiful sort, checked when he got the letter saying, hey, we're going to consider this on October 1, and was surprised to see that the agenda has it with a letter of concern. A very puzzled Dr. Brown called me and wondered what the heck was going on, and after reviewing this, I'd have to agree with him. And some of you might know, although I don't appear in front of you very regularly these days, but I've been here and I know a lot of your consultants, excellent job on that, by the way, because for 34, 35 years. And I'm pretty good at seeing what you guys have concerns about, sometimes to the chagrin of my doctors. But this one, I have to say, you stumped the band. So Dr. Brown is here in case what you have some concerns that could not be ascertained from the record. And with that, I'll conclude, but hope that you'll dismiss this. Thanks.
We'll open it up for questions and discussion. My thought, reading the case, was that we should dismiss.
First and second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. carries none.
Morrow recuses.
Morrow's recused.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Boyd.
Agenda item 6C1, case number 2020000120. Dr. Sarah Vizcara. Thank you for coming today, Doctor. Thank you, Susan. Ryan, you want to swear?
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I hope you got.
And Dr. Morrow, were you recused?
I'm recused on this one too.
Susan, you want to make comments or here for questions?
I'd like to make a comments, please.
Sure.
Hopefully we can keep the dismissal of cases rolling through this one. This one was, it's a single complaint filed by both the husband and the wife. And they were split apart. The wife's complaint, which is identical to the husband's, has already been processed and dismissed by the committee. The husband's case, through an inadvertent error, got processed incorrectly because the records got sent to the consultant, and the consultant reviewed it and created a report before Dr. Vizcara was ever given notice that a case had been opened against her on the husband's case. So there are many errors in the consultant's report. We have submitted a detailed, lengthy letter explaining the treatment, explaining the errors, and things like that. Hopefully you all have seen that and read that. But it was never sent back to the consultant for the consultant to clean up the report. But basically, one of the things that's very important to remember is that we have a 4-year statute of limitations here. And it's the treatment from April of 2016 through 2019 that's within the statute of limitations. This husband had been a patient since 2007 in the practice. But between 2007 and April of 2014, that's outside the statute of limitations. Also, the complaint was filed because of an alleged billing error. But how that got started was the, and this was already adjudicated in the other case and dismissed, but these people were sent to collections back in 2019. So they then filed a complaint in retaliation in 2020 is how this came about. But when the complaint came about, Dr. Vizcara and her team tried to reach out to the patients to try and resolve this issue about the payment that was owed to them in the collection. And that did not work. So when I came into the case, then I was able to resolve the issue with them. And you have the documents in the in your file there that the money that was owed by the patients was forgiven. And in exchange, the patients then signed a release of all claims and also notarized a statement saying they are withdrawing their complaint from the board. So the patients are happy and taken care of and, you know, got what they want, what they want. And so to me, the whole billing issue is resolved because of that and also resolved because of the companion case reviewed it and found nothing wrong with it. So what that leaves then is the clinical issue. The consultant looked at Crown 30, claiming there was something wrong with this porcelain fused porcelain crown that Dr. Vizcara placed in December of 2016. I have those x-rays separate if it's easier for you to find because she did try-in x-rays and she did 2 post-seat x-rays. Thank you. Oh, she's got 10.
Are these new or are they in the packet already?
They're in the packet, but since he's a patient since 2007, you have volume x-rays.
Yeah.
So we just pulled out the ones that relate to Crown 30. And I think if you look at this, Dr. Vizcara took all the proper steps she needed to take for the placement of this crown. She was doing crowns 2, 3, and 30 at the same time in December of 2016. So as far as we know, this crown has been in place for 5 years, and we would hope that you would terminate this case because the patient's issues have been resolved. The clinical treatment looks good. The crown is more than 5 years old. So we're asking to dismiss the case, and Dr. Pescara is here to answer any questions you may have.
Open up the floor for any questions or comments or discussion. I'm going to make a motion. We dismiss the case. Motion and a second. Any board discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. None opposed.
Mara recuses.
Thank you very much.
May I make a comment? It's kind of an unfortunate situation that I'm here. But this case really boiled down to thank you for your time and your volunteering.
Thank you for being here. Agenda item 6C2, case number 2020126, Dr. Nelson. Ryan, do you want to give some background on this?
Yeah, so without being an advocate for Dr. Nelson or her attorney, they're not present today. They can be present. They actually requested to be present at a future meeting because Dr. Nelson, she just delivered a baby 3 weeks ago, and so she wants to be here, can't. We had already placed it on the agenda, forwarded the information to you, and it was already posted on the website, so it's not a staff decision. I mean, we understand the request that you as a board can choose to adjudicate the case today or table it for a future meeting.
Thank you, Ryan. And as a point of clarification, Dr. Nelson was Dr. Girardi and changed her name?
Correct. Sorry. Yes.
Perfect.
This is Morrow. I recommend that we put this case out, table it for the next board meeting. I'd love to be able to talk to this case.
Yeah, and I have a question as long as this is on the case, and I don't know if this is any further. I'm going to pose a question in case we want to get clarification before the next time we discuss it. I think it's going to come down to, in part, prior to initiating, what the standard of care is to have a pantograph and to do a clinical exam, particularly the temporomandibular joint. So do we want that to clarify? So
this is Morrow. There was a AAO recommendation that was sent out through our consultant for ortho that we received, right?
Yeah.
My recommendation is that we use that AAO recommendation as our guideline for standard of care.
Okay.
Because that's, that's a board-trained orthodontist who has given us his recommendation for what standard of care should be.
And you're referencing the document that was
in last meeting.
Right.
And so that's part of the reason why I think that we ask for those things is so that we can utilize them going forward.
So maybe we can direct board staff to also, or maybe Dr. Duncan or Dr. Keller could review that document and discuss how that relates to this case.
And I think this is where you're at. Maybe somebody in the motion could direct staff to continue the investigation with the contract investigators and table the matter to a future meeting after further investigation on the AAO document.
Can I ask one other question that may pertain to this? I need clarification from past board.
Yeah.
In the past, we've talked about who can take a digital impression. Did that go through in terms of the dental assistant under direct supervision is the only one that can take a
a digital scan for ortho aligners and final prostheses, right?
So you guys passed a substantive policy maybe a year ago?
Yeah, maybe a little more.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure we did that is in play and that that is our new policy, right?
Right.
Okay.
But I would be remiss if I didn't say this out loud. Substantive policy generally is not going to be held up in any court. It's just the board's interpretation of what your statutes and rules state.
I just didn't know if it had to go to legislature or we started it and it didn't finish.
We filed it with the Secretary of State as required for substantive policy.
Okay. Fine. I recommend that we do this on the next board meeting to accommodate Dr. Nelson being here with her attorney.
You want to direct board staff?
And direct board staff. Well, it's already been in there. Okay. The AAO, it's already been placed, and the recommendation, IRC recommendation, is consistent with it.
Okay.
So I don't think it needs to have any change.
Okay. Then I'll second your motion.
So, Dr. Morrow, as I understand, the motion is to grant the doctor's request for a continuance, and then board staff will bring this back to you either at the next meeting or the next meeting that the agenda supports it.
Yes, at the next board meeting.
Thank you.
This is Dinah. Would that be sufficient time, and would that be agreeable to the licensee and our attorney?
They asked for the November meeting. We'll meet with IRC, my favorite committee. And if we present information to them and they think that they need more time, we'll try to not put it on the agenda.
I should amend mine to a future agenda.
Okay, that sounds good.
We have a motion and a second.
Dr. Hero,
are you okay with the amendment?
I'm good with it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Unopposed.
Agenda item 6D, Executive Director Complaint Terminations. I'll make a motion that we accept the Executive Director's recommendation to terminate the executive complaint.
Dino, second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. None opposed. Number 7, COVID-19 safety protocols.
So I think
I asked for this just to make sure that there wasn't some weird thing that happened between last time and this time. I don't think there's been any change.
And I think you guys wanted this on here as like a running item.
Yes.
If something comes up, we can add it in here. I will point guys to page 812 of the original packet, beginning on 812, which took effect a couple days ago, passed Bill 1824. And this basically, if you read it, turn it over. This is this was basically a bill that passed that allows, it basically it prohibits agencies from mandating mask requirements, vaccines, and stuff like that. So I don't know that that does. It's not for the general, like your dental offices. And just recently, the Supreme Court just in Arizona, in fact, reversed a decision that was made by the Ninth Floor about to schools saying that you can't mandate a mask requirement in your school. And so now schools are likely going to now go back to using masks from what I've heard. This was passed in this last legislative session. And I'm so sorry. I should have been more versed on this. Christine and I looked this up. It prohibits agencies from making a mask mandate or a vaccine. There are other public subdivisions or provisional subdivisions that are requiring it, and I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head. Is the Pima County Board of Supervisors just required and vaccine mandate in Pima County? It's being met with legal challenges. I don't know that it'll come here, but these are things, and so I think that when Dr. Morrow asks that this be placed on the agenda, that you guys continue to have conversation about this as things come up. Last meeting, you guys also said, because of the technical difficulties, which we're sounds like we're experiencing again right now, that you wanted to do in-person meetings. Christine and I have, through the budget process, acquired appropriate dollars to change at least one boardroom. We're going to change not boardroom C, but the one across the hall, boardroom B, to allow for more opportunity to attend virtually. And hopefully it will be the idiot proof, for lack of a better word, and we'll be able to do it better. So as we move forward, you may want to, I mean, that's one blessing I think that COVID has ushered in, is the ability for people to adapt and allow for people to attend virtually. So we can look at it further, but I think that this is why it was on the agenda, and I wanted to give you guys at least this one.
Thank you, Ryan. Move on to agenda item number 8, executive director report.
I don't have anything really to report other than the budget, and Christina can give you kind of a 30,000 foot view of the current budget and what we asked for. I think we did this already in the last meeting, so I don't know if you guys have any questions on the budget. The budget is still in your packet, and we're happy to answer any questions, and we're also happy to answer any questions regarding the budget proposed through the governor's office of strategic planning.
So, I have a question with respect to the earlier point that you made regarding converting the boardroom. It's coming out of the dental board budget, but wouldn't that also benefit the other state agencies?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And yes, it would come out of the dental board fund. And our analyst from OSPB is looking at trying to get a collaborative effort. There are boards in this building, I think there's 26, that have no operating funds. In fact, they don't even pay for Mark's service. So when he goes to those meetings, he doesn't even wear a tie. So
he can't afford one for those meetings. But
so there would be benefit to others. And so the goal is to get other contributors from other boards, but it would be the ones that had it within their budget to be able to. But the same is true. We're benefiting from the stuff in this room, behavioral health, everything for this room. So, and the dental board did a substantial amount already on the move to this building for the boardroom B, which is actually smaller, but that's what makes it less expensive. So I think that the cost would be not as substantial as in here or boardroom B. But we are trying to work to get none of them are the same, and they probably all should be on the same sort of system, which makes it that much more challenging when you don't have IT staff back and forth. We would hopefully have priority on boardroom B anytime we had a meeting, emergency meetings excluded, because you can't tell people to get out when they pre-plan. That would be the goal.
So I have a sense that there may need to be some bigger conversation.
There is.
To happen because, yeah. I mean, a few years ago, all of the agencies were scattered, and the governor brought all of the for most of the agencies to this building. And the way I see it, I mean, you know, you are going to spend from the dental budget, from the fees that come to the board from dentists and other licensed professionals to this board, and that's going to benefit, you know, psychology, that's going to benefit podiatry, et cetera.
True. And the alternative is that it could go out and be spent on babies who need bottles in nursing care centers because it gets swept. So there's a ton that can be done with the money right now, just if there's a shortfall in tax dollars that are coming in the general fund, and it's been done multiple times, including this board. So this isn't an issue where we're trying to spend down a fund balance, but spend it appropriately to where this board can at least operate.
To clarify, you don't want us to be against baby bottles.
I'm teasing. I'll bring you one next meeting.
Okay. I need more.
So I think and you've seen the struggles that we've been challenged with in A and all of them, to be honest. And B is the worst right now. The microphones beep like every 30 seconds, and we're like trying to figure out which one is not working because the batteries don't have any strength and stuff. So, but we are, it is a bigger conversation. OSPB is looking into it to make everything more uniform because there's a building several blocks down that costs, I don't even know, $5 to $8 million to renovate. And the only agency in that building is a taxpayer dollar agency. So they get the benefit of all the uniformity. But I don't, it's just bizarre sometimes the way government operates, as many of you have already understood. So.
Well, thank you for being on top of it.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Agenda item number 9, summary of current events. I just want to recognize Dr. Peter Spangenberg, who is a surgeon in the East Valley that passed away recently. A long time with our community servicing patients, and it would be nice to recognize that.
Peter Spangenberg?
Spangenberg. Another point, I double checked. So this meeting was obviously short, I think, for a couple of reasons. One was, it was scheduled 2 weeks after or 3 weeks after our last one. So next year they're spaced out a little bit more because rented a boat a day to a meeting. I know all of us are busy. It's nice to get through a little bit more material. So hopefully that'll prevent that from happening again next year. I think also Mr. Tonner being gone, and he had requested his cases not be discussed today, did some of the complaints that we could go. I just wanted to address that because we value everybody's time. You know, we're all busy private practitioners right now, different fields. And short meeting, we got through some important material, and we appreciate you.
This is Morrow. I get around to golfing today now.
I'm all right.
Okay.
I have. Go ahead.
Chris, they used to do every other month. Is that correct? Is that
Every 6 weeks, right?
Times, but that's a possibility.
I think it was 10. I mean, as far as I know, it was 10 a year, right? Which is what we're scheduled for next year. I think if we go to every other, I could see those meetings going pretty darn long.
This one in April that went from
till 8 a.m.
to 7:30.
Yeah.
We skipped a month.
Well, and we also did have a time where it was, we need another special meeting, special. So right now feels good, but it might be because a notable attorney doesn't have cases here.
I have another question, too. We have several cases that were dismissed. It seems like sometimes we have a consensus between the here that's headed.
I think that's where that's coming. Sure. So I don't know if we're agendized to talk too much about that, but I think the investigative committee is going to help with that.
That may eliminate a lot of the other things they don't feel they can do because there's not a DDS or DMD on their committee other than Dr. Dubbing and Dr. Cutler.
Dr. Hero, members of the board, if you'd like to talk about this, this may be something that we can add to a future agenda.
Next item on this. I have a.
I think it'd be important. I think maybe we should.
Okay.
About what the, talk about this committee.
What their roles are.
What their roles are.
Sure. Yeah, that'd be great. So maybe that should be a standing agenda item, through the end of the year, the investigative committee. So as we get closer to them sitting down and actually going through these complaints, we can flush it out as
many times as we can help determine their breadth and scope of what they're looking at and what can come before us and what they can eliminate.
Right.
Yeah.
If we could go back real quick to the summary of current events, I just wanted to bring your attention and then politely mention kind of some direction. So I don't know if anybody's read summary of current events in the paper recently, the Arizona Republic. There was a reporter who's also a nationally recognized reporter who writes for USA Today. It was about a five-piece article that came out regarding the massage therapy board, and just recently the entire board was removed from service. Some of them brand new, I think only 2 months on the board, and replaced with five new members. The situation that you guys are in, so this is just a word of caution maybe, is you're in a pickle because you want to do the right thing morally, and you want a free enterprise, and all that stuff is understandable. But the number one reason why we exist is to protect the public. So if that means redirecting through a letter of concern, an order for continuing education, it's not always about hitting somebody with a hammer when you can hit them with a ice water, but sometimes it is. I mean, you'll have attorneys that will come before you, and they have great arguments as to why it should be dismissed and all of this other stuff. That's their job, is to advocate. Your job is to protect, not the licensee. But it should also be, so you're always looking through this lens of the complainant, not so much that you're leaning toward their argument, but it's to protect the public, not the licensee. And I think you guys do a great job, but I just wanted you to know that it's a tough position to be in as a board member. And I commend you for volunteering and going through this, because headlines. That's it.
Thank you, Ray. We'll move on to agenda item number 10, discussion regarding future meetings and possible action items for future meeting agendas. We discussed keeping the investigative committee on the agenda, and we still want COVID-19
as
well.
I have two that kind of came of mind in this meeting. I don't know if it's going to be as much needed for a future agenda item, but just for discussion, is I was very uncomfortable with the two people making comments after their case was concluded, because they could have said things that then became board actionable. So I don't know if we need to put it on agenda, however, but that was very unsettling. Like, oh no, what thing might you say now? I think we have to usher them out of the room once they're done. So if you want to put on a future agenda. The other is, I'd like more understanding of the concern about double jeopardy that came up today. Because I understand, we could have multiple people make complaints. I understand that this isn't court, but are the licensees in that kind of a trap where the patient could complain, now the patient's spouse could complain, and now a child could complain, where a licensee might have to come back before us or us do the work 3, 4, and 5 times? I mean, can we ruin a dentist's life or a hygienist's life as the public? So just how aggregation could happen in the future if there's truly multiple complaints? I don't understand it, so I'd love to hear more about how it actually works.
Sure.
Yeah.
That could even fall under the investigative committee.
Yeah. That'd be
getting forth
how they could be aligned. Yeah.
How that can be aligned.
Yeah. Anyway, just those two things.
And one point of clarification, maybe just be an answer, maybe an answer we do afterwards, but there was a comment made to me about our licensing hygienists and how they can get a license, but their certificate of local anesthesia doesn't follow. Is that, am I incorrect in that, or is that correct? How does that work?
So we can put that on.
Okay. Or can I just get clarification afterwards from?
Sure, you can help answer that for sure.
Okay.
Do you guys want it on an agenda, or do you just want to?
It depends. I mean, if that doesn't follow through, then we probably need to discuss that. So
can we take off the agenda if the answer is proper?
Yeah, so I'll put it down.
Any more discussion on future meeting? Our next one's going to be a lot longer with all the suggestions.
Hopefully my suggestion is you're wrong, and then we're good.
Agenda item number 11, next board meeting date, November 5th, 2021. And agenda item number 12, adjournment. Can we get a motion for adjournment?
I move that we adjourn, Dinar.
Goodman, second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Good work.
No break today.
Thank you.
Ever.
Thank you, Vicky. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
Thank you, Vicky.